If you're an adventurer, there's one place that you absolutely have to shop.
There is, because there's this place called Modatomic, and they have the gas can hoodie, which when you put it on, it feels like a hug. And if you're a true adventure rider, you know that some days don't go as planned and you need a hug. But not only the gas can hoodie, Modatomic has other things too. Like what, Cappy?
Like beanies, cups, stickers, t-shirts, and probably my favorite dry bag.
That orange dry bag is badass.
It is. Modatomic.com. Link in the description.
So, Chappie, I got a confession to make.
Confess to me.
I've been talking to our buddy from B-Moto, Paco Pete. You know B-Moto, that shop that does really cool stuff like
off-road performance engines and suspensions. They even can Cerakote with ceramic finishes, so the outside is just as strong as the inside.
Which is awesome, and brings me to my confession, Cody Proof Certification. Because Paco Pete told me they're going to take care of my engine and Cody Proof it.
That's something that not too many places can say.
No, definitely not. I would just suggest go over to bmoto.com and check it out. They've got some pictures of what they do.
Boutiche.com. Link in the description of the podcast.
Yes, because it's hard to spell, but they do good work.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Throttled Adventures. I still have the kind of like an echoey sound to me. I got to fill this room with more junk to get rid of that. It's a smaller room than
the previous
what we
studio
were working with what I was working with before. So I think I'm bouncing off the walls.
I was wondering what was wrong with you today. Been bouncing off the walls.
I am. Apologies to everybody for missing a week. Things have been entertaining. Like not entertaining, but like crazy.
Yeah. I miss the old me.
Yeah, it's just things have been tight time wise. A lot of shit going on.
Yeah, I'm getting a new roommate, probably.
A new roommate?
Yeah. Mother-in-law will probably be moving in with us.
Yes. Yes, if you guys have been following Cody or his wife, you're aware of what's going on. But yeah, things have been family first, as we've always said before. Family comes first, motorcycles come second.
Usually.
Sometimes work has to come second because you need money to buy more motorcycle stuff.
Yeah. That's kind of part of life's adventure. Like we got to switch around priorities, you know. Yes. You got to be semi-adaptable, which it's the same on an adventure.
Right. Yes. Update on my stuff. My garage is getting full.
Move this studio down there.
I possibly do that sometime in the future. Maybe if we do like a live one so people could see the garage in the background. So went with the wife to Tractor Supply. I don't know if you have a Tractor Supply where you are. They seem to be everywhere. But it's like a wholesale farm equipment and all kinds of stuff. Went to get a ladder because having a house now, I have to have a ladder to do stuff. And it was insanely expensive. But anyway, the wife saw they had these little Briggs & Stratton mini bikes. So,
oh boy.
She had to have one for the grandkids.
Oh,
I think she had more fun on it out in the backyard.
I was going to say, that's a good way to get her riding.
Yes, she did. She had fun.
That's what I told my wife I wanted to get her, and she scuzzed me off.
It's a tiny little thing for the kids, but it'll hold 150 pounds, and it rips. But yeah, so We got that. And then daddy bought my granddaughter a four-wheeler that she's supposed to get for her birthday tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
That's in the garage. And when they showed up at 9:40 p.m. to drop it off, he's all like, yeah, I figured it could stay here because the kids will be standing over here a lot and they don't have anywhere to put it at home. It's like, oh, damn, shouldn't you have like talked to me before you bought this thing? But oh well, enough complaining. So as you saw in the thumbnail, we're going to talk about, we saw a list that somebody had put up, top 10 mistakes for camping. We're going to put our own twist on it, though.
Of course we are. We are. Yes, we always are.
I also want to just give a huge shout out to our new patrons. I know we gave everybody a shout out over the last.
I think we had one more. I'm not sure.
I don't know. It's been, like I said, it's been
really. Because we were getting them and we forgot.
Yes.
Or it happened while we were podcasting. Something like that. If I remember correctly, don't take my word for it.
Yes. I'm having a hard time finding it, though.
That's number one mistake, podcasting. Remember where you put your shit.
No, I'm having a hard time. They keep changing the damn
thing. Oh, I know. So don't even get me started on that.
It's not easy. All right, so we're going to do them both. The last couple.
We'll do a shout out.
Yeah. Big shout out to Steve Larson. Became a member October 9th, which.
Thank you, Steve, and welcome.
Yes, thank you so much for joining. And a huge shout out to Jeremy Franklin, who joined in September.
What's up, Jeremy? Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
We appreciate your support. It encourages us to keep the shenanigans going on.
Yes.
Rap.
Hopefully, we've been talking about trying that live thing again. So we'll have to book a date. We'll post it up in Patreon, and then you guys will be able to see this being recorded live. That is an available option for our plan. So
it's not PG rated, just so you know.
No, don't watch
it with the kids.
Yes, do not watch it with the kids.
So what mistakes are we going to talk about today? I've got a lot of mistakes I've made in my life.
Yes. Yeah, I've made mistakes camping too. But, you know, I mean, mistakes are kind of unique for each trip. When you encounter something you've never done or seen before, sometimes you make the wrong choice.
Never. Never.
Yeah, well.
What do you mean? Like what?
Well, I mean, when me and Frank got to the camp when we did the Tour Tech Rally, first thing I wanted to do was like get off the bike and maybe relax a little bit because we had been on the bike for hours and I was getting a little cramped. But, you know, I would have liked to have gotten out of my motorcycle boots and stuff like that before I set up my camp. But he started setting up his tent. So I started setting up mine. There was somebody there that gave us a hand. And, that turned out to be a good thing because shortly after setting up the tents, it started raining and the tents were the only thing to keep us dry.
I was just giving you a hand. Sorry.
That would have sucked.
Yeah. Yes. I've made that mistake a few times.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. The more you do it, you know, you kind of find your rhythm, but
I'd have never found the rhythm I get into without all the mistakes.
Right. Well, you hopefully learn from your mistakes. So
yeah, you should. Most normal people do, but yeah, that's why we share. I should share them on the podcast, share my mistakes so you can learn from them. And then I'll make them over again to remind you in a year.
So the number one, or number one, number 10, it doesn't matter. The first mistake we're going to share is probably one you do frequently.
Does deal with a list or planning or something?
Yeah. What's on your list? Like, biggest mistake you can make is failing to plan ahead. You know, I guess for somebody that does a lot of traveling, this might not be such a big thing, but somebody that's going to do it for the first time or hasn't done it much, not planning ahead and thinking about what you're going to do, you might leave something behind or you might leave without something. Sometimes things are not readily available depending on where you're going. So thinking about that is a big thing. If you're going to be out in the backwoods, there's probably not a Home Depot or something around or a Walmart that you can get things that you need or an REI.
I'm thinking I've made this mistake in multiple different ways, actually. When I first started, my first time I went, I don't know if I made a list or not, but I took stuff just in case and just in case, just in case. And just in, you know, I took, like, I didn't want to be leaving something behind. And the hoodie. Yeah, I forgot that one time too. He looks like Emperor Palpatine over there.
Justin is a nice guy. But sometimes he's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, Mr. Case.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was my first mistake with that, was like overpacking.
I did the same thing on the first trip that the wife and I went on. I had bags attached to my bags with stuff. I took a shit ton of zip ties and Velcros, and I'm on a brand new bike.
Man, I think I took half the toolbox too. I mean, I'm laughing, but I know we're all guilty of it at some point or another. Come on, if you're honest with yourself.
Yeah, I mean, we knew we were going for 4 days, and I definitely took too much shit. And it weighs your bike down. It makes it harder for you to find what you really need.
Yes. Yeah, when you have to empty your whole pannier just to find your spoon, you got a problem, Houston.
Ooh, update on that. My plates and silverware sets for Magware, there's probably December.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yep, that'll be nice. So I got a full set of the silverware coming again and a set of plates that'll match.
Love the Magware. It's good stuff.
So as we mentioned before, when they come in, maybe we'll give away a set to a lucky listener. We'll have to figure out a contest idea. So if you have any ideas for a contest to win a set of Magware silverware, leave it in Discord.
Yes. So you're saying a list. Even if you do it a lot, I find now, like, I've kind of got a little cheat sheet for each pannier, kind of how I like what I need and where I put it. I mean, you can get real detailed, or you can just even a list of everything you need, like sleeping bag, tent. If you're excited and planning ahead, sometimes you're packed up 3 days or 2 weeks before the trip. Myself, I pack up like the night before, the day of, and it's nice to have a little list because you get in a hurry and it's easy to forget stuff.
Well, yeah, not just that. It's just if you're doing it at the last minute, you're rushing around and maybe you leave later because you're double and triple checking things. Because you're always double and triple checking because you don't want to leave something.
I pack four times at least. Every time.
Seriously. You've gone up. It used to be three.
It used to be three, but I'm just being honest. It's at least four.
That's funny.
And I dream about it the night before. I'm dreaming that I'm packing.
And then you go, oh, shit, I forgot that. I got to pull everything out and put that back on the bottom.
That's part of the fun for me. But, yeah, most people just like to have a system, get it down. It changes because your adventures can change. Sometimes you're doing a lot of road and hoteling, and then next time you're off-road and camping the whole way. And sometimes some of us take a dog, and that changes everything. So it's like,
oh, yeah. Got to carry more water, got to carry dog food.
Yeah. Just when you think you have it down, you're going to do something different. One of your buddies going to want you to go on a different kind of adventure. And then a lot of the stuff is the same, but you gotta be adaptable, I guess.
Yeah, because if you're highway riding, the taking a lot of water with you probably isn't necessary because there's a lot of stores you can stop and get hydration.
Yep.
But if you're planning on a BDR, you could be hundreds of miles between stops.
Yeah.
So
what I do, I keep my 3-liter, I can't remember if it's MSR or whatever, but a bladder, water bladder. If I'm off-roading, I fill it up before I go off-road. But if I'm doing more road miles, I'll just crunch it up, you know, squish it up, and it packs nice and small.
Is that the one that you like, a backpack?
Yeah.
Or just, yeah.
I've got one for the backpack. I think it's a 3 or 4 liter MSR.
Now, do you ever use a water bladder in your tank bag?
Yes, I do. Now I've got a new backpack, so I've been working with that. I got the Moscomoto 12 liter. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah,
what do they call that? The Wildcat?
Wildcat, yeah. I thought it'd come with a cougar, but I haven't found her yet.
We don't want any cougars older than us, Cody.
I know, especially
we're already old. We need cubs.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to second. Don't leave without filing your flight plan.
Well, it confused me.
It did me as well. It's like, well, not everybody's going to be flying to a destination, but basically what they mean by that is making sure that somebody knows where you're going.
I do like it says, particularly for a solo trip, that I like that. But people know where you're at in case you do something stupid.
Well, even if you're with a couple of buddies or something like that, I mean, you never know. Wrong turn. You end up like that movie or something like that in Cages. So,
oh boy, shit. Thanks for that visual.
But,
no, it's true, especially these days. You never know, you'll be human trafficked.
Well,
lickety split.
Especially like out by you, where towns can be hundreds of miles away from each other. You could go probably 2 days without running into civilization or having service.
You know what? I need so calling those home. Days right now really bad.
Yeah.
I can feel it, but yeah, you're right.
And you know, same so thing if you can't if you're check in
or you know, camping or anything, you know, if you're or hunting, whatever, if you're out in the wilderness, it's a good place to, or a good thing to let people know kind of where you're going to be and when they should expect you back. So not to worry. I mean, we use InReaches or those type things are great for that too, but
yes, but they don't always work everywhere.
Yeah. Not everywhere. And, you know, I guess if you got trapped under your bike or something, can't get it off you and have no way to get in touch with somebody, maybe it's cool if you know somebody knows where you're at and they can tell the authorities or whatever.
Oh, I paused it. I didn't know if you needed to go. Yes. Well, not just that, but if you don't show up for this tab is using. If you don't check in within a certain amount of time, they know about where you were traveling. So the search parties will have a better idea of where to look. Do you need a break?
Nope.
Okay.
We're good.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've beaten that tree several times when we've talked about the communicators and stuff.
Yep, definitely.
Here's one that, you know, Cody was a big proponent for, and I always said, I don't understand why you need that, but
I still have it, but I finally got a new battery, but
no, the number three, like the maps.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I love gonna say maps.
We had one of our back and forths on the whole map thing, and I was always like, what do I need a map for? I got a cell phone. I got a GPS.
You want to hear a funny story?
This, that, and everything. Sure.
So Amber heard that podcast.
Yep.
So when we were in Idaho and we reached snow and we didn't know how far we were from the place I wanted to see, I've tried to get to a couple times on the Idaho BDR. She pulled out the paper map and she said, I've got it on video somewhere. Yeah. This is how far we are. And you know how we know that, Cody? How? Because I have the paper map. And I was like, I know where that came from. That's our back and forth episode.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's different around here. I'm so close to civilization everywhere I go. So it's really
I'm different. Starting to feel your pain. It's really frustrating, but that's another story, but I like to have multiple options. You know, you got people have TomToms or the Garmin Montanas or, you know, Google Maps on the phone, whatever. I mean, those are great. I just like to have a backup. Like sometimes your battery dies, or I've had some occasions where like I swore to God I put the right GPX in, you know, and in the thing for the trails or whatever, and it wasn't. It was actually for Montana, and I'm in Wyoming or some, you know, some overlook, or SD card goes bad, or you don't have service for your phone to find you, whatever. It's nice to just have paper. Also, I just like to look at it like you can see, and they call it like the 1,000-foot view.
Yep.
And you can kind of do the same on a lot of GPSs too, but like a BDR map shows you where campsites are, where gas is, food, like the main important things. So it's kind of just an easy way.
Right.
Also shows you elevation gain and such. I mean, a lot of GPSs will do that too, probably, but I like to know if I'm going to be going up the killer hill from hell shortly.
Yeah.
So I can hit the gas.
The Punisher?
Yeah. It's too late. By the time you see the hill, it's too late. You already need to be on the gas. Especially if you're carrying all the luggage I carry.
Yeah, no, you've brought me around the corner for the whole map thing. I mean, if I was going to be out by you, having an actual paper map would be beneficial.
Another thing too is if you end up like, if you're questioning a route or something and you come upon some nice people on ATVs or other bikes or something, or if there's a language barrier, like when we were in a flood recently, these motorcyclists were asking me some questions, but they were like, I don't know if it was German or what, that like they didn't speak English. But if you got a map, a paper map, you can say, we here, you want to go here, or you can ask, I'm here and I want to get here, and they can maybe just show you.
Right. Yeah.
That's always good backup.
Moving on, number four. Dead batteries are a downer.
That was a good one.
Yep. This is the one that Cody was thought I was moving to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Anything you have with batteries, and it's a good step after the maps. Cause like the maps, if you're, well, I mean, if you fall over in a river or something like that, hopefully your maps, I mean, if you are carrying maps, make sure they are in watertight packages or they are waterproof, like the BDR maps.
Yeah.
But yes, don't forget to charge all your battery powered devices before you leave. Start with full batteries.
And just a heads up, if you've had any issues starting your bike at all before you leave, you know, even if it's just turn the key, it didn't go, or push the button, whatever, it doesn't go, you have to do it two or three times, maybe check your battery and get a new one before you go on the trip.
Yes, have somebody test it.
Because I'm the king of dead batteries.
Or make sure you're carrying something like the Tusk, or there's other.
The Tusk. There's other ones. The Tusk has been great for me. Like, I've left it for 6 months just sitting, and it still has 4 bars charged. So
nice.
I mean, there's other ones. Tusk I got because it was a cheaper. I think it was about 50, 60 bucks. Some of them you can spend up to 250 bucks on one.
Right.
But having some way to jump your bike quickly, especially if you're off-road, even at a campground, because I found that with regular jumper cables and a truck, wasn't able to get my Beamer to jump.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know exactly why that was, but yeah, it wasn't working. And then Tim came back and we charged up my Tusk jumper on his bike, and it put that on, it jumped right up.
Yes, if you buy the ones that are small enough, you can charge them while you're riding.
Yeah.
Make sure while you're riding that the important things are being charged.
Yes, that's another fail GPS, point. If you have mistake.
A GPS, phone.
Phone, yeah. GoPros, if you're into that, or whatever. Also, don't leave them on charging at night. Some people say it's fine, whatever. I would suggest don't. Don't leave your hand grips, heaters on. You know, the keys out and all that shouldn't matter. But I would say err on the side of caution on that, because dead batteries are a downer, man.
Yes.
Especially to your partner that you're riding with, and you get up and he's freaking ready to go, and you go turn your key in and he looks at you and goes, again, Cody?
Yeah, if I had to prioritize, dead battery in a bike would be number one. Dead battery on your GPS or phone would be number two.
You three know what really would sucks? Be your
communicator.
No, it really sucks. If you got dead battery on your bike and your phone's dead. It really sucks. Yes. Don't do it, people. Don't do it.
Carrying a spare, like, little chargeable battery that you can charge your phone or other devices with is a good idea. Especially if you get one that can charge multiple devices, because you can charge that during part of your trip. And then you can plug your GoPro or any other things into that and charge multiple things in one of your saddlebags while you're riding and charging your phone or whatever.
Yep. Batteries are a must. I don't even know how to start suggesting for electric bikes.
Right. Number five, food.
Food?
Yes. Lots of it. Yeah. If you're trying to keep the price down, you're camping because you don't want to pay for hotels. The last thing you want to do is blow what little money you have on fast food, which is expensive and not good for you. And depending on your system, it could ruin your riding day.
Make sure you bring the wet wipes.
Yeah.
Like something about even just a freaking hot dog. I know you don't love hot dogs, but just an example.
I like hot dogs.
But at home, you know, hot dog. But around a campfire, I don't know why, but they just, everything tastes so much better cooking out in the woods.
Hot dogs are better than McDonald's, health-wise.
Yeah. And cheaper. I mean.
Yes.
Hell, you can buy a steak on the way into the camp and make a steak dinner over the fire. And if you went out to town to get that, that'd cut my trip in half doing that a couple times, just budget-wise.
Right.
If you go out and eat, you know. It's convenient, yeah, but maybe half and half if you got the money, whatever. But, yeah, take some food. Also, sometimes at least snacks. You never know. Like, you
could
have to fix a flat tire or run out of gas or, you know, take a wrong turn, whatever. I think we just operate better if we have a little bit of food in us.
Yeah, well, I mean, you need to stop and take breaks every now and then anyway. The granola bars or some kind of an energy bar or something like that, usually you can buy those ahead of time. And if you get them at Costco or Walmart or something like that, you can get a bunch of them really cheap.
Yep. Those are great. Just little snack bars.
Cliff bars. They last. So they'll last.
Granola bars. Yeah. Yeah, and they don't really expire. I've found some old ones in my fucking luggage. And tried them out. They're all right. Depends how hungry you are.
Yeah. But yeah,
stash them. Sometimes you find a stash of Skittles that's been in there a while, and it's just the right time. You're like, oh, man, I needed like some sugar to wake me up or something.
But yeah, stashing that stuff. Bringing your own coffee and a way to make some coffee in camp.
Yeah, bring some cookware.
Waking up in the morning, boiling some water and making some coffee. There's nothing better than doing that, because otherwise you got to ride down the road 5-10 miles to the nearest gas station. Your gas station coffee usually tastes ass water.
Yeah, it's not good.
I mean, it's come
occasionally. You'll hit this rare gas station that has like some really good coffee, but that's pretty rare.
Yeah, because usually it's been sitting for a very long time on a hot plate.
Also,
which continues to make it stronger and stronger.
If you bring your own coffee, you know what you're getting. So we've hit the gas station, can be terrible. I had an experience recently and went the other way. Somewhere down by Bryce Canyon, Utah. I think it's called Severe Coffee. Give them a shout out. But Tim and I stopped there and got an espresso one day, and triple shot espresso is what we usually get. And usually it's pretty good. Gives us a little wake up, you know. Oh my God, this Severe Coffee, dude. I thought I was having a heart attack. I'm trying to wave him over. I've got my blinker on. I'm behind, you know, as we're riding. Oh, like I'm sweating. I'm like shaky. I mean, it was good coffee. I just wasn't expecting quite that much of a kick.
Too many Red Bulls before.
Yes, and that is the other problem. I did down 2 Red Bulls because I didn't know he was going to stop for coffee. So, but yeah, my heart
was pounding like 200 beats a minute.
I'm like, pull over, pull over, pull over.
Pro tip, if you're on the Red Bull wagon and you're drinking a lot of Red Bulls, do not get extra caffeine coffee.
Yeah, especially if you don't eat with the coffee. Like I should have grabbed like a pastry or something, just because I had 2 Red Bulls and triple shot in my system, no food.
Yeah, like triple shot, that's like 3 times stronger than a normal coffee. So it's like,
yeah, it's good stuff. It's like Beavis when he was
yeah, when he has the sugar.
Are you threatening me? Are you threatening me? No. I am corporeal. Loved the Beavis and Butt. All right.
So yeah, as far as making coffee, you can get milk that is non-refrigerated. It doesn't need to be refrigerated and carry it with you. Usually once you open it, you have to use it within a certain amount of time though. I'm not, I don't like the non-dairy creamers usually.
That so reminds
if you can't,
me.
If you can't drink your coffee black, you can get the little bottles of milk. They're like half the size of the ones we used to get in school, little cartons.
Oh, really? But so they don't, they're not big enough to have the pictures of the missing peoples on them?
No.
But they still need to make that shirt.
They're probably big enough to put milk for 2 to 3 coffees, depending on how light you like it.
Yeah.
All right.
That reminds me of my youngest daughter. We went shopping once and we had a recipe. We were trying to make something probably for Thanksgiving and we needed some milk stuff. And so we pick it up. She was pretty young, like under 10. And we grabbed this evaporated milk and she looked at my wife, serious as can be. And she says, "Why are you wasting your money?" And we're like, "What?" And she goes, "It's evaporated milk. You're not buying anything." And I'm like, touche, touche.
Yeah. Number 6, hope for the best, plan for the worst. This would be coming along with like your tools and stuff like that, making sure you have a tire kit. If you have tubes, either bring lots of patches or maybe spare tubes. Usually tubes, they can fold up fairly small.
Yes.
Tire spoons.
Your first aid kit.
Yes, first aid.
And when they say first aid, I'm going to be clear because there's something that I don't see most people carrying. We need to change that as a community. We need like a cat tourniquet. You got to stop the bleed if you need to stop the bleed. If it's life-threatening, it's not a time to be trying to undo your belt and use that. And no, it should just be, you know. Because motorcycles are inherently dangerous. And if you're camping and, you know, shaving wood or chopping wood, things can happen. Mm. And you don't want to bleed out.
Playing jarts.
So, of course, the boo-boo kit, you know, we all get little cuts and scrapes. But I'm just saying we all need tourniquets.
Yes.
You hope you never need it. You hope your buddy never needs it, but yeah. Apparently, people are listening. Moscow just came out with their first aid kit, and it has a tourniquet. So it's nice. A good little overlooked item. I know. We're all safe riders, and everybody sees us when we're coming, and there's no idiot drivers out there. I know.
Yeah, nobody ever dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can read the next one.
Keep it wet, baby. Your whistle, that is, it says.
Yes. Staying hydrated. Make sure you bring your water. Bring a life straw or some sort of filter if you're going to be way out in the wilderness, away from areas. So if you run out of water, you won't be like Cody begging these chicks walking down the trail. Can I have some water?
You know, my wife gives me so much shit about that. Now I'm wondering if it was a mirage, but I know it wasn't. But she's like attacked me so many times. Like, there's no way you saw that, Cody. In the middle of nowhere. Just two random hot chicks. Full of water. Like, and then no, you can't have any.
Well, see, I guess the joke is that you were so dehydrated that they didn't give you any water because you said, "Excuse me, ladies," but they weren't ladies. They were actually dudes with full beards.
Oh, no. if that's the case, then they've got one hell of a campfire story to tell, don't they?
Yes, they do.
We saw this one guy. He said, excuse me, ladies.
We just kept walking.
We got the hell out of there quickly.
Yes.
That dude was, he was out of it.
Oh, yeah, God.
Water's an easy one to overlook. And
I don't hydrate enough while I'm riding.
I don't hydrate enough ever. And when I'm riding, I'll hydrate more. But I found, like, with the backpack or the tank bag thing, if it's close to me and I can just grab a quick sip.
Yep.
You know, if, like, backpack, it hangs on the shoulder, and you just throw it up in the helmet, grab a quick sip, I hydrate a lot more. If I have to actually, like, stop and get into something to get the water, get dehydrated a lot more. But it's important, especially, you know, I mean, we ride usually when the weather's good, which means it's probably warm. You could be sweaty. We're doing activity, so.
Yes, yeah. And FYI, Red Bulls, Monsters, coffee.
Alcohol.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't be drinking while you're riding, but yeah, I'm just saying, yeah. Like, those sort of things do not hydrate you well. If you're drinking that kind of stuff, you need to make sure you drink water as well.
Fresh Red Bull. You said Red Bull. Here we go.
Yeah, I know. We need to reach out and get a sponsorship.
Yeah, I think I'm up to like 8 to 10 a day now. Yeah, don't listen to me for health advice.
Yeah. Yes, bringing enough water. And if you're going to use water for cooking, making sure you have enough.
Good point. Cooking keep takes it low a lot on the bike because it's heavy than too. You would think.
Yes. Well, yeah, because then you got to use water to clean it.
Yes. Also, like after races or during races, and sometimes on my trips now, especially off-road, I'll take, it's called Liquid IV. It's like a little electrolyte pouch that you put in your water. I wouldn't suggest putting it in like a water bladder. I do that in like a, I'll take a couple sips out of a water bottle and use it because it'll kind of get sticky in your pouch if you do that, but it just gives you like salt and electrolytes. And like after a race, it's the only thing that brings me back to from that point of cramping, you know, when you get dehydrated and overwork yourself, it's terrible.
It's kind of like making your own Gatorade.
Yeah, pretty much. Tastes a little better. They're just little packets. You can throw them in any bag. Yep. Stay hydrated. It's like your bike. Keep your bike hydrated. It needs gas and oils and all that coolant, or else it doesn't perform well. We're the same.
Right. All right. Number 8, missing gear, not missing a shift. Like we kind of covered this earlier, missing, like forgetting something. Like you're going camping, you didn't bring your sleeping bag. Guess what? You're going to freeze.
Yeah. I brought two tents and no sleeping bag. Shit.
There is a fine line to this, though, because their first line is better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. I might need a kitchen sink on the trip, but I'm not going to bring it. Don't have it and not need it. That's kind of sometimes not a good thing. Taking things that you might need. You need to think about
percentage wise.
Well, no, is that something that I can probable. Do without?
Yeah.
Type of thing. Like,
and I think that one comes more too with experience, really. I mean, you can logically go through it too, but I mean, if you take a full set of tire irons on 5 trips and you haven't used it, then it's pretty easy to deduce that the next time you'll need it. No.
But well, no. Yeah. But I mean, no. the tire irons is one of those things. If you have tubes, you need tire irons.
Right. But you might not need the five that you have at home. You could do it with, you know.
Oh, yeah, a pair. Right. But like if you have tubeless tire irons, they might be overkill. Because, I mean.
Your buddy might appreciate it, but he should have brought them himself.
Yes. Well, but that's another thing like we've talked about as well. If you're going with a bunch of people, if you've got four people and all four people are carrying tire irons, that's kind of overkill. If two people carried them, two other people could be carrying something else.
I'm fine with that as long as I'm one of the two carrying them because I got to have everything I need in case you guys get sick of me and fucking leave me in the middle of nowhere. hey, it could happen. It could happen.
I would never leave you.
I appreciate that. That's what they all say until they leave me.
No. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. Even if somebody was a complete and utter asshole and I really couldn't stand them, I could not.
I think I've only met about two people in my life that I could leave. But as a general rule, no. But there might have been one or two over my life.
Minnesota.
Well, I was going to say anything, don't you know, but.
Oregon and Minnesota. That's all I'm saying.
Enough said.
And if you've been following this long enough, you know exactly what we're talking about.
If you're, you know, if you're carrying, I don't know, what was it that I used to carry? Like a table. They make compact tables. And,
yep.
And I loved it. But I like three trips, I didn't use it. So then I just took it out, you know. Now, if you know you're going to be with a bunch of buddies and you're going to cook breakfast for everybody or something, then you put it back in rotation. But, you know, if I like to come back from a trip and go through my bag, and as I'm taking everything out to air out and stuff, I will set aside everything that I did not use on that trip. And then just kind of make a note of it, and it helps me pare down a little bit. It doesn't help that I carry drones and cameras and all that crap. That stuff adds up, but most people probably don't.
But we're not talking about a whole lot of room for the GoPro. GoPro's on your helmet.
Well, GoPro, then you got the charger, you got the
charger batteries. And batteries, but still the charger and the batteries. I mean,
and then another GoPro.
Okay, six batteries is probably overkill.
You think it is? Till it, you know, the battery always dies right before the wreck. Always, right.
But if you've got one battery in each GoPro, and they use the same batteries, you could have two or three others that are charging on your bike while you're riding.
Yeah, that's assuming you're doing that. It's true, but I do that when I'm alone, but like when I'm with Tam or anybody else, they always have a little faster time. They move quicker, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I'm always like, we got to go, and things like plugging in batteries to charge and stuff. That's I get to do that about lunch if I remember. But yeah, with drones and, you know, it's just added stuff. However, with your bags, it's kind of said that if you have the space, you'll fill it.
Yes.
And I used to laugh at that, but it's true. Like if I have a 25 liter, I'll fill 25 liters. But if I have a 35 liter, I'm going to fill 35 liters. I don't know why. It's like, we have to fill it.
It's just one of those things where, well, now I can carry this, or now I can carry that.
Yeah. Don't ever go down that road. Now I can carry this, that. No, hear the buzzer. Don't do it.
Well, that was one of the nice things about going from the big tank bag down to the Nomax. I decreased my size by 2/3 on profile, but I'm still carrying everything that I needed and then some in the tank bag. I mean, I've got things in there.
You can probably find it.
Yes, but I've got things in there that, I mean, I carry a rechargeable lighter in there just in case.
A rechargeable what?
A lighter.
Oh, it's okay. USB. I was just making sure that it was safe for Jay to hear what your rechargeable thing in your.
Yes. basically, it's a little, it's like, it's just a little battery. You can recharge it. And it's held a charge for like 2 years. You click the button and there's these two wires that go across the opening that heat up. And you can light a cigarette or any kind of little paper or stuff like that.
Like a stun gun.
No, this is hot. Like,
oh, okay. Stun guns are no fun. We played with those when I was a kid and they hurt.
Yes.
They freaking hurt.
Yeah. All right. Number nine, multi-tools come in handy. I can't second this enough if you're not carrying a multi-tool. There's so many different little things in it, or like a Swiss Army knife, tweezers, and like you get a sliver, not having the tweezers or that little thing to poke at it.
Yeah. They do a lot of things. Probably none of them great and none of them terrible, but the multi-tool is like a must. It's like an everyday carry for me. They're just... You find a use for them every day some way. And yeah. If you can pare down carrying, you know, your whole toolbox drawer. I mean, yeah, there might be a specialty thing you need to carry, right? But the multi-tool is just, it's multi-use. Well, useful in small packing.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, usually the pliers in a multi-tool are better than any pliers I've seen in a motorcycle toolkit.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't rave on any motorcycle toolkit pliers so far that I've seen.
The most motorcycle toolkits nowadays don't come with pliers. They're all sockets and stuff. But like if you get
The fuck are you supposed to take care of your nose hairs then if you don't have any pliers? Come on.
If you have a nail in your tire, you're not pulling them out.
I have a nail in my tire. I throw my bike into traffic. Collect insurance.
You're not pulling them out with, you're not pulling that nail out with, you know, a socket wrench.
No, probably not. If you do, I want to watch. Yeah, no, multi-tool. Yeah, that's.
If you've got one of those set of pliers that like come apart in two pieces and you put them back together, multi-tools are much better than that.
Wow. Yeah, I say multi-tool is a no-brainer. So after hearing this, you should have no excuse for making that mistake. I mean, you can get a Gerber. I have a Gerber that was like $30-$35 and it's stout. Like, I've done a lot of shit you probably shouldn't do with those, and it's handled it fine. You can get a Leatherman for $100 or $200. I mean, I wouldn't say get a $5 one off Amazon, but the cheapest I've found that I would trust is like the Gerber.
Yeah.
You could use it as a weapon if you wanted. I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, if back to the whole zip tie thing, if you're carrying zip ties, you know, you're going off-roading and you need to put some zip ties on. Instead of having them things flap around and with the multi-tool, usually
tickle your cutter so you can while you're riding and you're laughing clean.
Or to, yeah,
help you can pull also them pull tight. Them really tight. Yeah.
Yep.
Careful with that. If you're around like wires or something, if you tighten like me and squat, you probably won't have any wires left, but yeah, multi-tool gotta go. It has to come.
I have a couple, small enough like I said, I bought them in a your couple, tank bag.
Yeah, I bought a couple Gerbers so that I have one in the tank bag always. And then I have one that I carry on me just every day. I used to try and just swap them out, but then it's just a pain. So when you find stuff that works, if you can leave it in your setup, that's great.
Yeah. All right. And number 10.
Getting off the highway and into the backcountry for overnight means finding a good campsite. Ooh.
Yes, find a good campsite.
Yes.
Don't take the first one you see.
Unless it's amazing.
Unless it's amazing. But every time I'm tired and I take the first one I see, and I'm packing up and riding out the next day, I usually go through the camp area and always see the one. Oh, man, if I'd have just gone a little further, man.
But you also run that risk of driving by the one that you want, and then when you come back, it's missing or it's already taken. Yeah.
But it's usually worth the risk, unless if you're out on like a holiday, then maybe just get the first one you see. But yeah, it's worth
it. Or if you're with somebody and you find a decent one, have somebody sit there, and actually they could check out the campsite and make sure it's a decent campsite. They could walk it, make sure it's not wet, muddy, boggy.
Ants.
Yeah.
Because you don't see that from when you're pulling up. So that's a good idea. Like, have them look at it.
Fire ants. They could be walking the site and seeing if it's a decent site. And you can go up and scout and see if there's a better site. If you run across a better site, you could put your bike there and radio down if you have Senna, or you can text them, or GPS.
I just start honking my horn.
Well, depending on how far up you are.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to leave the new site.
Right.
But before you call your buddy up, you should check out that site as well.
Yeah, walk it so you don't, when your buddy doesn't come up and go, God, this isn't even flat, dude. Come on.
Yeah, it isn't even flat, or shit, there's a fucking river running through the middle, and it's all wet.
Some rattlesnake nest right there where you're going to lay your head.
Right.
No, sorry, I missed that.
Or you walk through and your feet are squishing. Ugh. Put your tent down and that stuff. Although it may be soft to lay down, it's going to be cold.
Yeah, it will be cold.
Yeah, so choosing your site is probably choosing one of the most important things about camping.
It is. Like, that's why I camp, is like to find cool sites.
Yes, and if you want tips on helping to choose a site, or what to do when you get the site, checking it out and choosing it, there is another episode that Cody went in detail on what he's learned over the last couple of years with all his camping.
Yeah.
All righty.
Also, when you find those spots, make a pin in your like phone or
your
GPX. Yeah. So if you want to go back.
Right. So you remember, because come back like a couple years
later. Put like a little note in there, because I have a few pins, and I'm like, what the fuck is this pin? Like, pin something and put worth coming back, or something. Yeah, so
like, you can add notes. I know with the Google Maps, you can add a note. You can always put a note like amazing view campsite or something.
Yeah, I've started a collection of those, so who knows, maybe someday I'll share those. We'll see. I'm pushing for 50 if I make it another year, so no promises, but
pushing for 50 campsites.
yeah I think I found 50 so far.
Oh, that's funny. Alrighty, so thank you all for listening. Just want to remind everybody that you can use the discount code THRODDLEDADV Motatomic. Over at Motatomic, you can get yourself a gas can hoodie. That is an essential for any camping trip.
Yep. You can't even call yourself a motorcycle camper if you don't have a Motatomic hoodie. I'm just going to say it like right now.
Yes. You can also use that discount code over at MotoCamp Nerd for all your camping supplies. He has everything a motorcycle campus could need except for motorcycles.
and firearms. But that's another. Maybe next year. Okay, bear spray. Maybe he's got bear spray. I haven't looked. Maybe.
I don't know. But I don't know if you can send that through the mail. So
that's true. But as far as sleeping and eating and drinking and all that stuff, he's got you covered. Literally covered if you buy a tent from him.
Yes. You can also go check out B-Moto over at bootyche.com. They service all kinds of motorcycle type vehicles, including suspensions, motor work. They can Cerakote your stuff so it's just as slick and beautiful on the outside as it is on the inside.
Yeah. It's awesome. In fact, my motor's sitting outside ready, and I'm surprised Squatch hasn't popped his head in here and said, are we going riding or what?
Yeah. Yeah, before the season's over.
Yeah, it's actually a nice day today, so woohoo for that.
Woohoo.
And don't forget to throw on your official luggage of Throttled Adventures, which is Moscow Moto.
Yes. They have tank bags, all kinds of different luggage setups. They got panniers. They got the rackless systems. They got everything
from underwear,
duffels,
hats, to luggage. Anything you want to last. Take you on an adventure.
That it will. Alrighty. Thank you all for listening.
I'm going to say good fucking night. No, I'm going to go ride.
Thank you all for listening. And until next episode,
stay safe, stay frosty, stay strapped.